CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report. This is CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor, your host. Phil Condon is away today. I want to say that we have a kind of we have news that is sad news, but is also very important news to talk about. At about 5:30, we're going to be talking to Montreal lawyer Paul Skolnick. He represented General Gretchen Kabaligi at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. And listeners to this program know we are very interested in that story. General Kabaligi was acquitted by that tribunal. Very, very important moment. But his personal story, the difficulties he faced, despite being acquitted, the general was not allowed to leave Tanzania, and he remained there for a long time. We're going to get Paul Skolnick to talk about that problem. When you're declared innocent and cleared of charges, most people congratulate you and you return to life regular with your family. That didn't happen, mainly because the European states are very superior and racist the way they look at these things. So they didn't. His family was in France, and the French did not agree to his joining them. And I don't know the number of years that he spent in Arusha, Tanzania, before eventually being allowed to join his family. All of that we will learn about talking to Paul Skolnick and the problems of that tribunal, which was pursuing justice, Roy's assured. The other matter, which is, I know our listeners are going to be concerned about and sad to hear, Fred Jerome has died in New York City. I believe he was 81. I don't have the details, but in future programs we'll talk about it. I want to remind everybody that he is the author of a wonderful, important book, The Einstein File, The FBI's Secret War Against the World's Most Famous Scientist. And it's a remarkable book, very highly praised in many quarters, not mainstream, because, of course, hearing how the FBI harassed, bothered, and created suspicion and problems in Einstein's life is not something, I suppose, that the mainstream media is anxious to let us know about. The book is The Einstein File. It was reissued recently, about a year or two ago, with forwards by Jamu Baraka and Dr. David Suzuki. And it also, to show you how far the renown of the book extended, Thomas Pynchon, one of America's most celebrated authors, wrote this about the book. This carefully researched and reported account of Einstein's surveillance by the FBI adds new, what Einstein might call, dimension, not only to his personal history, but maybe even to our own present-day character as a nation. Fred Jerome has given us back a piece of our history, and hopefully of our conscience as well. That's written by Thomas Pynchon. John Stachel, founding editor of the Collected Papers of Albert Einstein, wrote about the book. For almost two decades, Fred Jerome has devoted much of his research and writing talents to the task of revealing the oft-forgotten or purposely hidden political role of the great scientist. I have learned much from this work, and I'm sure other readers will too. May Einstein's and Jerome's example inspire us to action in the face of our current crisis. Certainly that was one of the key elements of that book, and I've read it, I'd say, two or three times, because there's so much remarkable material in it. People have to understand it. Einstein was quite a devoted socialist, and he would love to have seen this campaign of Bernie Sanders going on today, because he believed that, of course, socialism should be on the agenda in any civilized republic, or even monarchy, perhaps. And he wrote a very persuasive essay, appeared in Monthly Review. I'm going to, from memory, say the title is Why I Am a Socialist. That was Albert Einstein. The other thing Albert Einstein did, and certainly that inflamed J. Edgar Hoover, and this is apropos of Black History Week, Einstein was shocked at the apartheid-style segregated America, and he remarked on it at whenever he was given an opportunity. He also went out of his way to cultivate the Black leadership in America, and also just to, in his own way, in every place that he functioned, to resist racism. He called it an illness, a psychological illness, and he compared it to Germany with his own experience of anti-Semitism and this drawing of bloodlines and this sort of thing, which, again, it's not widely known that this was Einstein's views. But thanks to Fred Jerome, we do know about this. Another book that put out by Fred Jerome is called Einstein on Israel and Zionism, which is, again, you may not be known, but I think it's widely heard that Einstein was once asked by the leadership of the new state of Israel to become the president. And there's a famous anecdote that goes with it where the people who asked him also asked each other, what are we going to do if he says yes? They knew he was going to say no, I think. He had a real difficulty with the treatment of the Arab population, the Palestinians. He was, by the way, spoke up on it. He signed a famous letter together with Hannah Arendt and, I believe, Sidney Hook, of all people. And this opposing the visit to America by a very right-wing Zionist leader at that time. So this aspect of Albert Einstein is not known, and it's certainly not widely known that he befriended two individuals who America was persecuting throughout the 40s and 50s. That would be Paul Robeson and W.E.B. Du Bois, both good friends of Albert Einstein. Together with them, he formed an anti-lynching movement. And if it wasn't for Fred Jerome, we wouldn't know this at all. They formed a national movement to oppose, to get a federal law ending lynching in America, which was practiced in particularly in American South, but also some northern cities as well, where the federal government didn't intervene. And incidentally, they were turned down by Roosevelt and later by Truman. But it was Einstein that was initiated that together with Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson was really crushed by the American state and certainly J. Edgar Hoover. And I take you back to the name Fred Jerome. Fred Jerome has died in New York. He was I consider him a dear friend. He was a guest on our program. He had a very distinct voice and a very clear prose. And he was, when he took on a subject, he did his due diligence. It was always wonderfully researched, and the commitment, Fred's own commitment, was remarkable. And you should, as his other book, it deals with such things as the anti-lynching movement and all, is Einstein on Race and Racism. He wrote that together with Roger Taylor. And this is another one of those books of Fred Jerome's that you must get. One thing about Fred Jerome I want to make sure we tell our listeners, and that is that he grew up without illusions, any, because after all, the Trump didn't invent chest beating and braying about how advanced and marvelous and the freest country on earth and the most democracy. As Fred was growing up, his father was imprisoned under the Smith Act, a bizarre piece of legislation from the American Congress that was tossed out by the Supreme Court, I believe, or certainly crippled by it, a piece is taken away from it. But his father had written a pamphlet, and this pamphlet was entered into evidence as to why the Communist Party of the United States had to be banned and why Mr. Jerome had to go to prison. And the evidence was that the title of the essay was Grasp the Weapon of Culture. So they said, aha, weapon, it's right there in the title. And that was enough to convince them that this is a man who had to go to be put in prison. And so Fred, as a young man, had to visit his father in prison. I forget the number of years, but it wasn't an insignificant amount of time. And not only that, young Fred Jerome was followed around by FBI agents. He talked about that on our show. But I think I've covered this matter briefly for now. We're going to return to talking about the significance of Fred Jerome in future programs.